everybody, it's Michelle Fisher, and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today, I am so thrilled to be interviewing Zach Anner. You may remember Zach from Oprah's own show, Reality Competition, in 2011. Since those days, his career has kept rolling along. He's an author, is famous on YouTube. His videos have over 100 million views over social media platforms, and the list could go on. And right now, this very moment, he is sitting in front of me, ready for this podcast in Indiana. Hello, Zach Anner.
Hey!
How are you?
Fantastic.
Oh my gosh, you're with me. What?
I know. It's like we're in the same physical space, although people listening cannot tell whatsoever.
Okay, so let's start talking this conversation, okay? Is there a special nickname you want me to call you? Like Banana?
No, I feel like Ben Anner is what my dad wanted to name me.
Yes.
So that I could be called Banana. And I am, that's a crisis I averted. And now that I put it in the book, people have been calling me that.
Well, let's
instant regret.
But let's talk about the one of the things that I really appreciated you saying at the end of chapter one. You said, I'm a guy who's been able to recognize that sometimes the only difference between mistakes and miracles is what you choose to call them. And the most interesting lives are the ones that have an equal mix of both. How did you get to that point? I mean, how did you go from, I don't like this situation to, I'm okay with it?
Well, I think it just came through a lot of reflection and having a sense of humor about things, sure, which my family instilled in me. And then, you know, like I didn't really unpack a lot of this stuff until I was writing the book with my writing partner, Jillian Grassi, and we were sort of like talking about how do you actually live your life? What does it actually mean to you to be like in the position you're in, and how did you get here? Mm-hmm. And just thinking about that, it's like you don't really think about it until you have to write it down for someone else.
Sure.
And I think it was just realizing that all of that stuff that sort of seemed random, mm-hmm, at the time, if you can find meaning in the randomness, you can choose to say, okay, I can use this to enrich my life, or you can use it for a positive or a negative. And oftentimes I would choose to take the things that other people would see as roadblocks and say, this is how I've been able to harness those, mm-hmm, and turn them into something more fun.
Was it always that way though?
Nah, I mean, when you get older, you realize, okay, these are the cards I was dealt, and I'm gonna take this hand and beat the house with it.
I appreciate that too. That's what drew me to you. Now let's talk about the competition for Oprah for a second. I watched the show. I watched you win.
You were one of like six people.
I was like one of 6 million people.
No, no. But Michelle was watching, my mom was watching, and four of my mom's friends.
I was, but I cried when you won. But the interesting thing is you talk about the backlash, and the backlash was pretty intense. 6 million of 9 million votes were deducted midway through the competition. Talk about that.
Well, for those that didn't catch that brief period in 2011, it was a reality show where you competed to win a show that you wanted to make on Oprah's new network.
Yep.
And to audition for that, you had to put a video up.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happened with Anonymous and that group where 6 million of the votes that were towards my video were taken away.
Yeah.
I don't really understand it. All I know is that for me, it worked out for the best.
Yes. Yeah. So you were saying too, weathering that time period and towing the line between gratitude toward Oprah and the fervent but unpredictable internet saviors helped me realize that old Rough and Ready, Zachary Taylor's old nickname, might be the right nickname for you.
Yeah, that's an interesting. My mom actually, I had several names that when I was born, my dad wanted to either named me Trondor or Banana. Or, my mom wanted to go with Zachary because the obscure president who hasn't, you know, had a musical named after him or anything, Zachary Taylor, his nickname was Old Rough and Ready. And I just came out early and ready to go.
There you go.
And I think I'm going to embrace that because you have to be ready for anything and you have to be ready to weather any storm and do it with grace. And it's not something I've always done, sure, but it's something that I'm growing into.
Well, I think one of the things that I remember was maybe when you, after you won, I listened to you and you were saying that you had the sexiest of the palsies, which changed my life. And I thought, man, this guy has really kind of worked with himself. So
what is that, a euphemism for something?
You know,
with himself, because
worked
I
with
have,
himself.
But it's,
yes, yeah, worked inside himself.
Oh, okay. All right.
Worked inside himself. When people ask you where you came up with that, what do you say?
That was really, I was looking for a joke and it became a mantra, which is pretty much a good way to sum up most of my life. Searching for jokes and then found an actual, like, way to live. And there aren't too many palsies to compete with. I think there's like four. So, you know, but
we got the good ones.
I did just sort of want to normalize and make cerebral palsy something that people could immediately find humor in and like start to dismantle the perception of, okay, this person has cerebral palsy, so they're, you know, they're an object of pity, or they can't like be sexy. And I thought coming out of the gate with sexiest of the palsies might just change that perspective just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's talk about, I remember reading this little thing to my mom, and I said, oh my gosh, Mom, that sounds like me. Because you had been picked for the show. You had to get up at 4:30 a.m. to be ready for a 7:30 a.m. call to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So did you ever think, before you even got to the show, how would I do this energy-wise?
Oh my gosh, yeah. The thing that I was most worried about was inadvertently playing into all of the stereotypes of disability, that they lack, you know, people with disabilities lack stamina,
yeah,
that they can't handle a normal workload, that they slow everything down. And so there was a real stressful period before the reality show where I'm thinking, like, if this doesn't go well, I'm actually going to set people back by just, like, showing up not ready for work, like,
sure,
I can't do it. And then it was sort of, for one thing, I have to give the Oprah Network credit because they really worked with me to make that show something that was inclusive and that addressed some concerns that I had, and they were willing to work with me on all fronts. And my best friend, Andrew Martina,
Andrew. Mm-hmm.
Actually was able to sort of come along and assist me, mm-hmm, in the morning so that I wasn't like freaking out.
Let's talk about your shows a little bit and why you had such an interest in video. And because your dad documented a lot of things in your family, but why in your adolescence or as you started to get an interest in more in television, why was video important for you?
Well, I think it allowed me to sort of, when I was much younger, it allowed me to see myself on camera and correct certain things about my way of speech, about my physicality, to present, I almost say that in order for the world to be more accessible, I have to present the most accessible version of myself to
sure.
the world.
Sure.
So seeing myself on camera was like, oh, I need to sit up a little straighter. I need to speak a little clearer. And then when things like YouTube came along, it was a way for me to communicate unfiltered and express things that traditional media wouldn't allow me to express.
Mm-hmm. Talk about that for a second. How do you think media today views people with disabilities now?
I think...
Has it become better?
Yeah, and I think I'm a writer on a show called Speechless. On ABC.
I watched that show too.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think for the first time in media, people with disabilities are starting to have representation
sure.
that isn't playing into the tropes of disability of either being pitied or just blandly inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
Like for the first time we're seeing fully realized characters with cerebral palsy and other disabilities mm-hmm. in the mainstream media. But before that, you know, YouTube allowed me to control the narrative, to be who I wanted to be and present whatever I wanted to present without fitting into the very narrow boxes that people with disabilities normally fit into. So, like, if I wanted to do a fitness show,
Workout Wednesday,
and be uh-huh. running on treadmills and riding mechanical bulls,
that's fine. I honestly don't know why you didn't break a bone. You're braver than me.
I'm not braver. I think I'm just dumber. I think there's a very fine line between being brave and just making really poor decisions. And, you know, like, some of the things that I do are related to disability, but then some of the things are completely in another space. Like, I just finished up hosting a show on climate change.
Yes, you did.
With Rainn Wilson's company, Soul Pancake.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you wouldn't think that, you know, like, okay, so there's nothing about disability in that show. But the universal thing that having cerebral palsy has taught me is that, you know, I have a unique ability to disarm people and connect with them without judgment. Because
yes.
I'm somebody that's used to being summed up by his physicality. So I try and be as open as possible when I'm dealing with people with different belief systems. So it's just following whatever those passions are.
Sure.
And the state of media has allowed me sort of pursue passions rather than be stereotyped or boxed in.
Well, you are wonderful at it, let me tell you about that. So let's talk about your speaking engagement and kind of what you're going to talk about today.
Okay.
A little bit.
Sure. I think it's really a version of my story and some of the lessons that I've learned. And really, it's a story about friendship and inclusion and humor and silliness. And, like, I hope that, you know, sometimes I don't know what it's going to be. Sometimes I just go in there and the feeling strikes me. Maybe we'll do some Tai Chi. I don't know.
Oh, no. Now what am I going to do about Tai Chi? I don't have the physicality.
No, you go for it.
Okay.
You go for it.
All right.
You
okay.
make it work.
All right. Well, Zach Anner, you know what? If I had to have any palsy, I would want cerebral palsy because of you and what you have done to make people comfortable. You are amazing, and I'm so glad.
Hey, likewise.
Oh, well, thank you.
You are fantastic, and I feel like if the one thing that I'm able to communicate is inspiring more people to go and get cerebral palsy, to go to your
bookstore.
Go to your local palsy shop. Pick up a copy of If at Birth You Don't Succeed. Get yourself some cerebral palsy and
go with it.
Wait, just see how it fits.
That's
pretty
right.
Great.
That's right. Zach Anner, thank you so very, very much. Thank you for taking the time. And I cannot wait. I actually get to eat lunch with you today.
Oh, fantastic. I didn't bring a lunch. I hope they're serving something.
There you go. Well, your speaking engagement will be enough lunch, too.
Yeah, great.
Well, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.